In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, let us quieten our hearts in opening prayer and thanksgiving. Our dear Heavenly Father, as we approach you on this new day of grace, we ask simply, dear Father, increase our faith. Dear Father, grant unto us power and strength to battle against that threefold enemy which so fiercely attacks us. And even this day, which is a special day for many, we ask, dear Father, protect these young ones who are about to begin their journey of life with newfound independence. Dear Father, protect, shield, and guide them. We thank you, dear Heavenly Father, for so abundant blessing that thou hast granted unto us, our homes and our families, all that is needful in this temporal life. But above all, dear Father, that thou hast called and thou hast protected and shielded us here in this begun faith. And we simply ask this morning, dear Father, to feed and nourish us. Open thy word through thy Holy Spirit. Give utterance unto thy servants. And we thank you, dear Father, for all that thou hast done unto us. And thou hast protected thy kingdom and each one of us. In Jesus' name, amen. If you happen to look on your church calendar this morning, the theme for this Sunday, being the third Sunday after Pentecost, simply reminds us of the call into the kingdom of God. The call of God that has been proclaimed throughout all eras, throughout all time, is proclaimed today and will be proclaimed until the last lost seeking soul is gathered into this blessed flock, and then the end will come. I thought I'd read the gospel text that's set aside for this Sunday. It's from the 14th chapter of the gospel according to St. Luke. It begins about in the middle of the chapter. And again, it's when the setting is when Jesus had been invited into the home of a Pharisee. And I'll begin reading the text then from the 16th verse onward. And these words are in Jesus' name as follow. Then he said unto him, A certain man made a great supper and bade many, and sent his servant at supper time to say to them that were bidden, Come, for all things are now ready. And they all with one consent begin to make excuse. The first said unto him, I have brought a piece of ground, and I must needs go and see it. I pray thee, have me excused. And another said, I have brought five yoke of oxen, and I go to prove them. I pray thee, have me excused. And another said, I have married a wife, and therefore I cannot come." So that servant came and showed his lord these things. Then the master of the house, being angry, said to his servant, "Go quickly into the streets and the lanes of the city, and bring in hither the poor and the maimed and the halt and the blind." And the servant said, "Lord, it is done as thou hast commanded, and yet there is room." And the Lord said unto the servant, "Go out onto the highways and the hedges, and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. For I say unto you that none of those men which were bidden shall taste of my supper." Amen. Our Lord Jesus oftentimes visited in the homes. Nothing's changed. Did you know, boys and girls, that when you go home, Jesus is there in your home? And Jesus is here this morning in our midst. And we've come here to hear what He has to say unto us. And so simply we believe that God opens the mouth of the servant. It doesn't matter who is here sitting and speaking. It's God, our Heavenly Father, who opens the mouth and gives words through the Holy Spirit. And boys and girls, sometimes we servants, we struggle. Sometimes we pray that God would give us more faith. We pray that God would give us understanding and wisdom so that His Word would be proclaimed clearly, purely, and that the sound would be clear. Before we begin studying this portion of the Bible, it's the parable of the great feast. I want to say a few words to the graduates. Today's graduation. It's a time in your life where you're turning a new page. Independence and freedom. Many of you probably already tomorrow will maybe be somewhere, going somewhere or moving somewhere, or and you're on your own. It's a beautiful thing. The future is bright. The future is optimistic. But yet the Bible reminds you that in the Proverbs he writes, he says, "To ponder the path of thy feet." Ponder the path of thy feet. And Jeremiah, when he encouraged those believers and unbelievers of his day and us today, there's also a portion there in that, I think it's the 6th chapter, the 16th verse, where he says in this way that, "Oh, son, daughter, when you come to those crossroads and you're looking there, it says, stand ye in the ways and see at those crossroads, and you're looking. And it says, ask for the old paths. Ask where is the good way? And then walk that way." And you know what it says here? God reminds you. "And then you shall find rest for your souls." Dear graduates, 40, 50, 60 years from now, when you look back, you'll be the age of many of the elders, your parents, your grandparents, today. Then you'll understand maybe more of your parents and grandparents. And but when you're there and you then you look back at your achievements and your accomplishments that God has gifted onto you through your ability and skill that He's given, and you're looking back and you're pondering all that has come and gone. What's the greatest achievement? What's the greatest accomplishment? You know, we live in a day where it's an incredible time. The accomplishments, the achievements that have been done even in our lifetime. We couldn't fathom it. I remember in science class, I don't know if it was ninth grade, I remember my science teacher telling me, and we had the encyclopedias on the wall there and all the science books, and he said, there'll be a day when you can take all this information here on this bookcase and you can fit it on the head of a pin. And I'm like, oh, yeah, right. And you know what? There's even more. It's incredible. And yet, dear youth, what would be the greatest accomplishment? Isn't it this, that God has preserved you in living faith and with good conscience? That's the purpose of life. And our text here that we read, if I can find it again, it speaks onto this. It speaks of this great festive meal. In Revelations, I'm going to read that portion. In the 19th chapter, you know, John was able to see a vision of heaven. A vast multitude which no man could number, dressed in white. Those beautiful angels. Your loved ones are there in that vast multitude and throng of people which no man can number. And that's where we want to go, isn't it? Yeah. But in the 19th chapter, it speaks of what Jesus is speaking here in this parable that we heard for our text this morning. This great festive meal. And it says here in this way, 19th chapter, I'm going to start reading from the 6th verse. And it says, and this is John speaking. And I heard as if it were the voice of a great multitude and as the voice of many waters and as the voice of mighty thunderings, saying, Alleluia, for the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to Him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and His wife hath made herself ready, and to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteousness of the saints. And He saith unto me, Right, blessed are they which are called unto the marriage of the supper of the Lamb. That, beloved youth, dear brothers and sisters, is the purpose of life. You know, when Jesus walked into this house, this home of the Pharisee, on this, it was a Sunday, it was a Sabbath day. And everybody watched Him. Well, they had already heard, they had seen miracles, many of them, probably all of them by this time. It's interesting how it's written here. And it says, and it came to pass as He went into the house of one of the chief Pharisees to eat bread on the Sabbath day, that they watched Him. They watched His every move. And there was in that in that home too, somebody who was diseased. Then Jesus asked a question now of the lawyers and the Pharisees that were seated there. Chief Pharisees, says even. He asks, is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath day? Good question. And there was no answer. Nobody said anything. It says that they held their peace. And so it says, and he took him, that man that had the dropsy, and he healed him, and he let him go. Then he asked him another question. We don't have too many farmers here anymore in our congregation, but our congregation at one time was made up, I dare say, mostly of farmers. At one time it was all farmers, tillers of the soil. They had their chores in the morning and evening, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Jesus asked these Pharisees, which of you shall have an ass or an ox and fallen into a pit and will not straightway pull him out on the Sabbath day? You know, if you had some, I don't know if anyone here has a milk cow anymore, but there's been a few in our congregation. And if it fell into a pit, you know, it was in distress. It's Sunday. Of course you help, without question. But the Pharisees didn't answer. They didn't say anything. You know, there were lawyers there that's all they did. They studied the Bible. That's where the word lawyers comes from. They studied the law. They studied every minute detail of the law, and so then also they made decisions according to their understanding then when problems and difficulties would come, because everything wasn't written in there. And it says they could not answer him again to these things. They couldn't answer him. He goes on to teach them about humility. Well, these are self-righteous Pharisees and scribes and lawyers. You know, self-righteousness is a temptation, and it's a sin that can attach onto us also. You know, we know when we fall into those sins on the left-hand side of the way. There's no question. We've fallen. And what grace of grace it is that message from our Heavenly Father has always been, come this way. There's grace and there's forgiveness. But then there's those sins on the right side. And you know, it's not far from us. We carry the old Adam. We do. This sin corrupt portion, which kind of likes to boast sometimes and we want to take glory, you know, we do something good, you know, and we'd want to be recognized. And self-righteousness isn't far from any one of us. There's a Pharisee in all of us. Maybe some of you it's only like you can't hardly see it, but in some others it may be this much. Self-righteousness is, somebody once painted a picture of it in this way. And he said that he was talking about the struggle of self-righteousness, and he said in this way that one becomes mired down in the deceiving bogs of self-righteousness. Well, you guys understand that, you know, when you're out hunting and you get to this bog and you just sink, you know, and it's, you pull one foot up and the other one goes down, and that's how self-righteousness is. And that's, this home now was full of it. Of self-righteousness. And everyone was silent. Jesus was teaching. He was teaching about humility. And he even said into that chief Pharisee who invited him that, you know, when thou makest a meal like this, that you shouldn't invite your friends and your rich neighbors but call the poor and the maimed and the lame and the blind. And he says, and thou shalt be blessed, for they cannot recompense thee, for thou shalt be recompensed at the resurrection of the just. And so he reminded them. The purpose of life. Of that last day. I'm going to read one more verse and we'll go into our text. And one of them that sat at meat with him heard these things, and he said unto him, blessed is he that shall eat bread in the kingdom of God. That was the first comment that was made in that home on this day. And Jesus now took that statement and he said, then said he unto him, a certain man made a great supper and invited many. You know, in the Old Testament day, the prophets, they heard the word of God. And they spoke unto the people that what God had revealed unto them. They did the work of God. But in the midst of those believers in that day also, those simple believers also did the work of God every day. Moms and dads in their homes, aunts and uncles and grandparents, teaching and reminding, and nothing's changed. Then Jesus, when he first began to preach the gospel message publicly, now this is after John was cast into prison, John the Baptist. It says in the beginning of Mark, in the 14th verse, Jesus came into Galilee preaching the gospel of the kingdom. This is the first mention of Jesus publicly speaking. And this is what he said, the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye and believe the gospel. This is that message and that call from God's kingdom. Hasn't changed. Jesus is still preaching this message through the Holy Spirit, through the lips of you boys and girls, you beloved youth, and you dear brothers and sisters in living faith. This work is continuing. This invitation is proclaimed daily. Let's read from the beginning of John also. It speaks onto this. You know, the children of God, they were in the Old Testament day of the Jewish nation. The Jewish lineage, I should say. From Abraham. You remember from Abraham there was those two covenants that began. One from Sarah, that covenant unto the children of God, living faith. And the other one from Hagar, from Satan. In John it says that, John was referring to Jesus. He said he came unto his own and his own received him not. Well, without question, there were multitudes of people that received the grace of repentance. But as time went on and Jesus was preaching, and it wasn't a long time that he spoke. It was some 3 years or thereabouts, that he publicly proclaimed the gospel, preached the gospel message. There were many that became offended at the word, and there were many who thought that he was going to be a temporal king, and there wouldn't be any more problems. We'll have all the food we want, and because he provided everything. And it says that, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. And so there were those, and many they were. But how many were there then on Good Friday? They were there. They were very silent, confused. They didn't understand. Their minds had overtaken them. They were trying to understand these matters of faith through their own wisdom and understanding, even the disciples. And they were crushed. Then when Jesus suffered and died, and he arose victorious on that Easter morning, he appeared unto his own, I believe, 40 days. He was only seen of the believers then. The unbelievers didn't see him. He appeared into their midst in a visible manner. He would take bread, eat, give thanks, break it, give thanks, eat it. Then he gave his own that mission command. And so that is what you dear brothers and sisters have been doing to this day. Sending forth that invitation of that wedding in heaven. You know, in this parable, Jesus talks about those that were invited. He's speaking of those his fellow Jewish brothers and sisters, the chosen people of God. And the examples that he took, you know, one bought a piece of ground, a farm maybe, and he begged. He said, I need to go check this. I'm sorry, I can't come. You know, the other one bought five pair of oxen, you know, the latest and greatest in farming in those days, and he wanted to go try them to make sure now that these were those super oxen that would help him get vast crops and harvests year after year. And he said, I can't come. The other one, he got married. He said, you know, the reasons are, you know, you'd think, well, you know, those are pretty good reasons, aren't they? I mean, you know, if you start thinking with your mind. Dear brothers and sisters, there's many who have heard this call, this loving invitation here into God's kingdom, that the temporal things of this world are preventing them from seeing the beauty of God's kingdom. Nothing has changed. That servant came back and he told his master that, I'm sorry, they didn't want to come. And it says that the master of the house became angry and said to his servants, go quickly into the streets and the lanes of the city and bring in hither the poor and the maimed and the halt and the blind. And he did that. He went all over. And he had this big throng of people that now was coming with him to this festive meal. And the servant said, Lord, it is done as thou hast commanded, but yet there's still room. And the Lord said unto the servant, go out unto the highways and unto the hedges, and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. Dear brothers and sisters, most of us here, I dare say, are childhood believers. There's some here who have been compelled to enter here into God's kingdom there from those hedges and those highways of the world. But aren't we all, dear brothers and sisters, poor and maimed, halt, blind? We're so incapable of ourselves. We wouldn't have a chance if our salvation depended upon our merit and upon our wisdom and upon our strength. We wouldn't have a chance. But what grace of grace it is. That our salvation was prepared unto us through that merit work of our beloved Lord Jesus. And the simplicity of living faith. All that we need do is simply trust and believe the gospel message. So then, this theme, this call into God's kingdom, I believe all of us have loved ones there, yet along the highways and in the hedges of this world. So many of those neighbors, our fellow citizens that are yet there. But I have a wedding. I need to try these oxen. I've bought a piece of ground. I've bought a field. And yet, do not tire, dear servants of our Heavenly Father. You, children of God, to again and again put forth this invitation unto them. The letter unto the Hebrews reminds. I better look. Today, if you will hear His voice, harden not your hearts as in the day of provocation. Unto you, dear unbelieving loved one, I say, those words of Jesus from that third chapter of Revelations, Jesus is speaking now. This is what He is saying to you. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice, open the door. I will come in to him and will sup with him and he with me. That one can be partakers of this great festive wedding meal on that last day. I ask you, dear brothers and sisters, does it pay to believe? Yes, it pays. And I ask you, how has your journey been? Yeah, the journey's oftentimes very tiring, weary, and doubt-ridden. Many times we struggle with our own mind and our own understanding, and Satan's sprinkles that confusion into our midst. But what grace of grace it is that we are today here in God's kingdom, even as the weakest and the poorest. You can uplift your heart to believe, all your sins and doubts forgiven in Jesus' name and precious blood. Yeah. God again and again uplifts and comforts lovingly instructs, lovingly rebukes. Again and again we're given that new power and strength. And I also need to hear that. Can I have my many, many doubts and sins also forgiven? I certainly desire to believe with you. And beloved graduates, God's great blessings unto you. May He protect you above all to preserve faith and good conscience. In Jesus' name, amen. The Lord bless us and keep us. The Lord make His face shine upon us and be gracious unto us. The Lord lift up His countenance upon us and give us peace. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.